Thanks for tuning in to New Life Sermon Series Online. If you're blessed by these messages and are interested in helping spread the Word of God to others, make an investment today. You can give at newlifechurchsf.org. If you have a story or a testimony to share, let us know on our website as well. We hope you have a blessed day and enjoy today's message by Pastor Alex.
Well, today we're starting a new series called Adulting. And it's a series about how we should grow up, okay? And how God wants his people to grow up. Amen? It was my wife's birthday this week, so I took her out to a lake, and we spent kind of a day, 24 hours together, less than 24 hours, but it was worth it. And as we were sitting on a dock, I was watching jet skis go by. And we were sitting by a rental place where they rent jet skis. And I'm like, you know, I haven't been jet skiing for a long time. So I said, honey, can I go? And she's like, you go. And so she let me go. And I went and I got a jet ski. And the next thing I remember is I'm going super fast. And it says 80 on the speedometer. I don't know if it's water 80. Maybe it's like 50. My wife thinks it's 80, but I don't think so. Maybe I think it's lower. But I'm going really fast, and I'm yelling a lot. Woohoo! Woo! Yeah, this is so much fun. And so I would find I'm definitely was acting like a kid. If there was a video of me, you'd be like, man, he's acting totally a fool, because I was just having fun. I didn't care. So I was acting like a kid and having fun for that 1 hour. It was $50 worth spending. And then I spent $15 in gas. That's how much I was going. For 1 hour, I was going till I couldn't hold the grips anymore on the steering wheel. And so it was lots of fun. I would find a boat that is kind of big and is going, and there was a huge two-story boat that was going by, and it was creating huge waves. Oh, guess what I would do? I would drive up and jump on those waves, and people in the boat was watching me, and all I needed was the audience to do crazy things. And so it was just so much fun. And acting like a kid sometimes is good, but if you act always like a kid, it will create problems in your life. And if you don't grow up spiritually, it will create problems in your life. All right. A lot of people come to Christ, and we all start as babies when we come to Christ. You could be 30 years old, you can be 40 years old, but when you receive Jesus, you start as a spiritual baby. Okay? And because your spirit is born again, and so you start growing spiritually. Amen. And God wants his children to grow. Parents, how many of you have children? How many of you want your children to stay small? No, you want your children to grow up. There is something wrong with a child who is 5 years old, but they can't walk. You start getting concerned when you have a child that is 5 years old, but they can't talk yet. Or just like we saw in this video, when your body grows but your brain does not develop, you are concerned. And see, I believe God is concerned with us when we have been Christians for 1, 5, 10 years, 20 years, but we still act like spiritual babies. Actually, Christians stop growing when they're spiritual teenagers. A lot of Christians I know never go to maturity. They grow from baby to a teenager. And parents, how many of you have teenagers? What is the hardest stage of raising a child? I heard it's a teenager, right? Because teenagers don't believe in Santa Claus anymore. They don't believe in anything anymore. See, what teenagers do when they were kids and you brought them presents, they would be like, oh, this is so much fun. Let me open it. I got it. Santa Claus brought me this. Santa Claus brought me that.
But then when they become teenagers, they become skeptical. They don't believe you. They think you're stupid as a parent. I have a 12-year-old daughter and she eye rolls at me. She acts shy of me. When I come in, she's like, I'm like, Abby, why do you do this when I come into the room? Teenagers, right? And so, but there's two stages that are fun. When you were a child and somebody brought you gifts, what happened? You got excited. When you are teenagers, they bring you gifts. You're like, sucks again. But then there's the next stage when you grow up, and what you don't get pleasure by gifts anymore. What do you get pleasure? When you bring a gift to a child and seeing that smile, excitement on their face. Here's why our Christian lives are many times gets boring and dull. If it is, because you've stopped bringing, you overgrew the gift receiving, and now you're in a teenager stage, and that's why nothing is good enough for you. Everybody's stupid. Everybody is, you know it all. You know more than anybody in the world. You think you can do anything you want to do. But then there's a third stage, in that stage of adulting, when you grow up and now you buy gifts for your kids or for other kids, and when you give it to them, and it brings you so much pleasure, brings you so much joy. And that's what God wants from us. When you come to Christ, it's all about me, me, me. God bless me. And then he says, but how about this? How about you start blessing others? You know, Jesus said this, it's more joy to give than to receive. So when you give a gift to a child, you get more pleasure than when somebody gives gift to you. Amen? So we're talking about adulting today. Now, what is adulting? It's our culture creates words, right? We love creating words. And so one of these latest words is adulting. I guess there's a show like that. I haven't seen it, but there's a show called Adulting. And you can see people on Facebook saying, I'm done adulting today. That's it. I've had enough of adulting today. Meaning I've had enough of being responsible. I want to be irresponsible for a little bit. Or I want to chill for a little bit. But adulting is to grow up and be responsible. To hold a job for more than a couple of months. To pay your mortgage or your rent. To pay for a car if you need a car, file taxes, get off of your parents' shared cell phone bill that they pay. Get off of your parents' insurance policy, right? Adulting means you take responsibility, you move out, and we live in this prolonged adolescence. We live in time, and why do we do that? Because parents, we treat our children so well, they don't need to grow up. See, the reason I need to grow up so fast and start a business at 17, because my parents wouldn't buy me nothing. Zero. Okay? If I wanted a watch, I had to go work and get a watch. They'll provide food, but that's it. And shelter and place to live, but that was it. My parents would never buy me a cell phone. Never buy me a car. Right? And so I needed to grow up. If I wanted things, I needed to go and work hard. And I started working at 14. Told them I was 16. They hired me. But now we live in a culture where parents, you're doing so well, most of you, that you just give things to your children. Well, I never had a car. My parents never could buy me a car. I need to buy my children a car. And see, Dr. Henry Cloud says, by giving your children everything they want, you are actually harming them for future maturity. I posted an article on Facebook, shared an article by Dr. Henry Cloud, and he said he had a man named John come
came to counseling, and John and his wife was getting a divorce because John was acting like a kid. He could not keep a job. He made promises he couldn't keep, and he bought things they couldn't afford. He bought toys, and his family's rent wasn't paid, and his wife said, I love him, but I had enough. And Dr. Cloud says, hey, I started researching, and I discovered that he had good parents who gave him everything that he wanted. So if he wanted to quit a job, well, he could quit a job, no problem. And that's why now he's just quitting jobs. He can't support. And he's like, I don't understand. I love my wife, John said in counseling, but she just won't trust me. Yeah, because she wants some stability. And you're acting like a child, because children act selfishly. When children don't feel something, they don't do. When they don't like doing homework, they just start crying about it and quit. Right? But adults, maybe we don't like our job, but we still have to do it. If we don't like our job, we can't quit a job till we get another one. Then we quit the first one. Amen. That's what adults do. And we deal with marriages in this church and in other churches. Even people out of state come and say, hey, we love each other, but we can't live together because he's a kid. All she wants to do is go and party and go out with her girlfriends and club. And I have to stay home with kids and cook breakfast and lunch. And I'm married to a child. Just like in the natural, so is in the spiritual. God looks at us and says, hey, when are you going to grow up? When are you going to grow up? How, Pastor? Well, the series is 4 weeks, so you'll know how in next week. But I just want to open up to you that when God looks at people who've been Christians for a long time and they're still sucking milk, something's wrong with that. Paul writes, I think, to Hebrews chapter 6. He says, let's forget about the baby stuff. Let's grow up to maturity. God has more for you, but all that God has for you is in maturity. I'm going to prove it to you today. Let's open Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, and read that together. Apostle Paul writes to Galatians, that was the church, and he says this, think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children. So I think, look at me for a second. I think Galatians were asking a question and Paul is answering. What do you think the question was? I think the question was, how come we're not inheriting all these promises, Paul, that you said God has for us? How come we're not walking in the fullness of what God has for us? What's up, Paul? What's up? Did you lie to us about this gospel, this power? Why aren't we living it out? And Paul says this. This is his answer. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better than slaves until they grow up. Until they grow up. Until they grow up. Even though they actually own everything their father had. So watch this. All the inheritance that Bible has, all the promises that God has for us are yes and amen. Meaning they're there and they're truth. Bible is not lying to us. It's not pulling our strings. It's there. But those promises are only for those who grow up. Even in our days, when a rich parent passes away, they put a clause in their inheritance saying, you can only claim this when you're 21 or when you're 25. I've been hearing that it's older because people don't grow up. Because if you give $1 million to a 20-year-old who's irresponsible, usually they'll waste that on drugs, waste the money on drugs and kill themselves and hurt themselves. So you're not doing any good. And so same thing with God. As it is in the natural, Bible says, so it is in the spiritual.
God says the same thing. I have a promise for you. I have great things, great future, great plans, more than sand on a seashore, but you can't access them as long as you are a child. As long as you are a child. I searched growing up Bible verses before I did this message, and here's what came up. And Isaac grew up, and his father threw him a party. And Samuel grew up, and God blessed him. And Moses grew up, and his mother, the Egyptian mother, brought him in and made him her son. And then again it says, and Moses grew up, and he went out to look at the suffering of his people Israel. Notice he only realized the suffering of people of Israel, the slaves in Egypt, when he grew up. Here's the problem. You can't see the people you are supposed to help. God assigned you to help until you grow up. Here it is. God has an assignment for you to help somebody. You can't even see him until you grow up. And then Bible says John the Baptist grew up and was filled with Spirit of God. And then Bible says Jesus grew up and was filled with wisdom and power and the Spirit of God. The promises of God are for grown-ups. It's for adults. The promises of God are for adults. And a lot of times we're like, God, why didn't you answer my prayer? Because that prayer would have destroyed you. Sometimes in the Bible, Jesus said, you don't know what you ask of. Do you remember? Yeah. I remember when I was a young pastor, 24 years old, you know, so much pride, you know, in your 20s, we all have pride. How many of you would admit it? But in your 20s, there's a lot of it. You think there's nothing in this world you cannot do. 20s, right? And so we started a church, and in that first year before and year after, God just made so many promises to us. Like, guys, we would have prophets come to this church and just stand there and prophesy to us. And they were usually big things, like God is going to fill this church and God is going to do that and that and that. And one guy came in and told us like numbers. He's like, this is what's going to happen, and then you're going to grow like this, this, and this, and then this is where you're going to be. Okay, and so for a 20-year-old, guess what it does? It puffs you up even more. You become so arrogant. And so I'm like, God, I'm ready. Let's do it this year. First year of ministry, we're going to get all these promises of yours. And then first year passes and nothing happens. We're 30 people. 5 year passes, we're 30 people. 10 year passes, we're like 50 or 60 people. 10 years. And I'm like, God, did you miss it? Or did those prophets, were they prophesying or were they prophelying? God, were they just liars? And now I know that you don't give a razor blade to a child even if they want it. Because what do children do? They take anything and put it where? You would be an irresponsible dad or a mom if you gave a razor blade to your child. No matter how much they cried and wanted it. And so same with God. God says, I have all these promises ready for you, but you have to grow up. You have to grow up. Now, I asked on Facebook, what makes somebody grow up? What makes a person grow up? And a lot of people answered differently. And some said, well, you move out of your parents' house. You pay your own cell phone bills and things like that. One girl said, she's like, growing up means I change my own oil now. And I'm like, really? I was like surprised and impressed. You change your own oil? She's like, yeah. How? She's like, well, I go to Walmart, I drop off my car. And they change my oil, and I go shopping quickly, you know, and then I come back and I try, I've changed my oil. I'm like, oh, that kind of oil change. Whoa. But what does it mean to grow up? Some people said to change your attitude is to grow up. And that's all true. Growing up means you change your mindset. And here's where, from what to what, you change your mindset from selfish to selfless. Let me just tell you this. One of the marks of a child is selfishness. Wouldn't you agree? One of the marks of a child is selfishness. For example, I didn't have to teach my daughter, Hadassah, to be selfish. I didn't have to say this. Hadassah, repeat it to me. Say, mine. Say it with a little more attitude. Mine. No, a little more. Put some hysteria into it. Start crying uncontrollably and say, that's mine. Did you have to teach your children to be selfish? No, they came preloaded with it. They came preloaded. But one of the signs of the maturity is that you move from selfishness to selflessness, from receiving and demanding to be served to serving. When a husband just says, serve me, wife, that's immaturity. That's childishness. That's being a child, right? When a wife says, I just want to spend the money responsibly, or I want to go hang out with my girlfriends, that's irresponsible. Let me ask you a question. What's the difference between a 20-year-old girl and 20-year-old mother? What's the difference between 20-year-old girl and 20-year-old mother? Responsibility and maturity. Now, a 20-year-old girl spends everything, lives for herself. And that's okay. But if a 20-year-old becomes a mother and still lives for herself, that's called child negligence. And see, same thing with God. And what I want to show you is the same thing with God. When you just start being a Christian, if you're like 3 months Christian, a year Christian, it's normal to be a baby. You know? But if you've been a baby for 10 years or 5 years, it's not okay. God wants His children to adult. God wants His children to grow up. I remember Hadassah, she was a late, she was really late in walking. Some children like walk at 10 months old, and I'm like, not our children. Some children are really fast, but Hadassah was, our youngest, was really careful, and it was like 16 months when she started walking. But about 15 months, we were like, what are we doing wrong? Why isn't she walking? And here's what we realized, is because she would cry, and she would stretch her hands and make that cute face with tears, and we would run and pick her up and do what she says. You know, Hadassah is a boss. She even comes to us and says, Mama, I'm the boss here. Right? Actually, Hadassah, like, tells Tanya what to do so much. I'm like, are you serious? So Tanya and I are sitting there talking, serious conversation. She comes, sits on my wife's lap with her cell phone and says, Mama, be quiet. I can't hear my YouTube video. And Tanya's like, oh, okay. I said, honey, are you serious? I said, Hadassah, we're having a conversation. We're adulting here. Out. Like she would sit in between us and say, shh. I'm like, we're adulting, baby. Get out. I'm like, Tanya, don't let her boss you around like that. And what did you say? You said you didn't even notice it. She bosses you around like that. But that's what kids do. They're selfish. It's all about them. One of the marks of a child is selfishness. Here's one of the marks of a Christian baby, spiritual baby, is selfishness. Do you come to church saying, God, how can I serve others? Who can I give a hug to? Who can I say, you look so beautiful today? And ladies, I can't say it, you know, but you can say it to one another. You know, why is Pastor telling me I'm beautiful? Does he like me? Is he crushing me? So I won't say it. You know, but you need to say it to one another. You look beautiful. Let's not be a church where people go, Sign, a mark of a spiritual maturity is that you become other-focused. Your prayers are other-focused. Your prayers are not, God bless me. Pastor, today was not for me. He didn't say nothing I needed today. I know it all already. We're going to talk about know-it-alls because that's another sign of immaturity. We'll talk about it next week, okay? But our prayers begin to change. When we grow up spiritually, our life becomes other-focused. If church became boring for you because you've heard all of my jokes and all my stories twice, it just means that you are a spiritual teenager now. And you could say, well, I think I need to find another church because I've heard it all. Usually it's not that you need another church. Here's what you need. You need to grow up. Grown-ups serve. Kids demand to be served. Here's the mark. Here's how you enjoy church. If you stopped enjoying it, is you gotta serve. We're going to talk about mastery next week, and we're going to talk about how you become a master at something, good at something, successful at something. But yeah. Anyway, my next point is Peter, the apostle of Jesus, did not start as a mature person. Although he was a businessman, actually he was a family man. He had a wife and he had a mother-in-law living in his house when he followed Jesus. Oh boy, yeah. But the early stories of Peter that we read in the Bible is that he's selfish. They're always arguing who is the greatest, who is the closest to Jesus. And when they die, they're arguing who's going to sit at the right or the left side of the throne of Jesus, right? And so we see a selfish Peter when he denies Jesus three times. That's selfish. It's all about me. I just want to be safe. It's all about me. But then Peter grows up and he wrote a letter called Second Peter, it's called. And I want to read it to you, just one verse, and watch the difference between early stage Peter and end of life Peter. Watch the maturity level. Let's put Second Peter, right, look what he says. Simon Peter, when he introduces himself, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. That's all I want to read. Notice when Paul writes a letter, and in the letter they would write their title. He writes not that Paul, Simon Peter, the apostle. He doesn't say apostle. Simon Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ. He says something different. He says a bond servant. Some of you are like, what is bond service? Servant. The word bond servant from Greek is doulos. D-O-U-L-U-S. Doulos. You know what doulos means? A servant who serves not because they have to, but because they want to. So Peter says, I am a bond servant. In those days, let me explain to you something about bond servant. In those days, if you had money problem, if you went in debt and you couldn't pay the debt, the courts would force you to work for somebody. Okay? But you could only work for 6 years max to repay your debt. Because after 6 years, they have to release you. That was the law of that land. And so if somebody went to work for a master and they worked and
After 6 years or after 3 years, after a year, whatever their debt level was, they were freed. The master would say, now you're free. You paid your debt. But if the servant liked the master and he said this, you know what? I'm better off working for you because I don't want to worry about rent. You know, there's people like that in society. You know that, right? There's people like that in society. I worked with homeless, still do, with a lot of homeless people. I know that many of them, they chose that life. Some of them are mentally ill and some of them are, but many of them chose that life. And so let's say this man said, I like working for you. I get free food, shelter, clothing. And maybe if it was a man or a young guy, the master introduced him to a hot girl and he fell in love with her and they got married. And he's like, man, my life just turned around when I started working for you. Can I work for you for a long time? The master would say, well, here's the rule. I have to pierce your ear. If you want to work for me for as long as you want, and then you would be my bond servant. You're not a forced servant. You're not a slave. You're a bond servant. Why would they do that? Why did they have to pierce the ear? Because the neighbors of this master would see, and they would say, how come this man is working for you more than 6 years? He's been with you 8 years. You're a sinner. And you know how we love to point other people's mistakes. You know the neighbors of this master would point it out and say, we're going to tell the high priest about you. And your reputation will be ruined. But the master would say, no. He's my bond servant. Look at his ear. That's a sign that he wants to serve, not because he has to serve. And remember Peter, when he denied Jesus 3 times, ran away. All the disciples ran away. When Peter was finally, you know, he was a martyr for Jesus. The way Peter ended his life, that Romans were going to crucify him on the cross like his Jesus. And you know what, Peter? How much of a bondservant he was? He says, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Crucify me upside down. That's amazing. That's maturity. That's maturity, and that's what God wants for us. He wants us to grow. God is not okay for a 30-year-old baby, 20-year-old baby. You're always asking for, receiving, demanding, but never giving, never serving. One of the greatest signs of maturity is serving, because adults serve. Moms, do you serve your kids or do your kids serve you? Especially for the first, 3-5 years, they don't change their own diapers. They don't take out trash. But you love them unconditionally. Why? And moms, you would not do that for another child, for somebody else's children. Notice that? If you really want to know, you wouldn't do that for your sister's children. But you do it for yours. Why? Because you find pleasure in it. When we give gifts to our children as adults, we find pleasure in it. When we serve others as adults, we find pleasure in it. The worst thing is this, a baby serving. Because what? They're always like, nobody says thank you enough to me. Right? That's what babies, when they serve, they don't say thank you. They don't notice me. They don't ask me, how am I doing? That's baby. Notice me. Mommy, look what I've done. Have your children ever took a sweeper and just like messed up everything and say, Mommy, look what I've done. You're like, please don't. You're just making it worse. Please don't. Jesus said something. If you want to be great, you got to become a servant.
And he says, the Son of Man did not come to be served. Here's maturity. Here's what is adulting? Adulting is to be like Jesus. What does God want us to look like as adults? Because we're like, what does adulting look like? Like Jesus. And he did not come to be served. He came to serve and give his life for others. Notice Jesus at the end of his life gets down on his knees and washes the disciples' feet. And he says, and Peter's like, you'll never wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't, you can't have part of this. And then he says at the end, you do likewise. You serve others. You serve others. Pastor Alex, why do I want to grow up? I like being immature. Well, here's the thing why you need to grow up. Because it will help your marriage. Right? You will get promoted at work when you grow up. Yeah, you'll start spending money responsibly when you grow up. Right? You'll be a better parent if you grow up. But spiritually, Pastor, why do I want to grow up? And here I want to give you a couple of reasons why you want to grow up. Number one, if you're writing this down, why God wants you to grow up? Because God only releases his inheritance to adults. Jesus, God incarnate, had to grow up. He had to grow up, get baptized, and then God released his power over him. Jesus had to grow up. Moses had to grow up. Samuel had to grow up. John the Baptist had to grow up. God releases his inheritance, his spiritual blessings on adults. So here's why I want to grow up. God, I want to grow in you. Because the more I grow, the more you release into my life. There's only certain things in my life that God will give when I am mature spiritually. Actually, in the Bible, it's a curse. Isaiah chapter 3, if you want to read that, verse 4. We're not going to put it on the screen. It says, when God is cursing the nation, he gives them kids as leaders, children as leaders, youth as leaders. That's not a good thing. Children don't make good leaders. Would you agree? Why? Because it's all about them. You give them a candy and they'll do what you want. So number one is God only releases his inheritance on the adults. Number two, babies cannot produce spiritual fruit. What is spiritual fruit? It's the things that grow in our life as we mature. There's 9 spiritual fruits that Paul identifies in the Bible. He says love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Right? So there's 9. These things begin to grow in your life. A child cannot truly love somebody unconditionally. Babies cannot produce spiritual fruit. We planted trees with my kids, apple trees and like pears and things like that. And as those trees were small, they didn't produce any fruit. Next, after 2 years, they start producing like 3 apples. And we're so excited. Like, yes, we got 3 apples. And then last year, there was like 10 or 15 apples. And then this year, they have so much apples that the branches are breaking. And there is another spiritual lesson. Here's why God won't give you more than you can handle. Because your branches would break. Your branches would break. You couldn't handle it. Babies cannot produce spiritual fruits. And God wants us to produce spiritual fruit. It is, John says this. He says, it would please my Father that you would produce much fruit. And the tree that does not produce fruit, cut it down.
This is a message for adults, isn't it? Nobody's shouting in this church today. That's okay. Number three, God unlocks your spiritual destiny when you grow up. When Moses grew up, the slaves that he saw while growing up and he didn't care about, now something in his heart, something touched his heart, and now he suddenly started caring, right? And in that, he realized that my destiny is to free them. Now, he tried to do it wrong at first. He tried to do it in his own strength, and he failed miserably, got cast out of the nation for 40 years. Then God says, I'm going to do it through you. Amen. So God unlocks your destiny when you grow up. Number four, God reveals his mysteries to adults. Children wouldn't know what to do with it. So the revelation of him comes to those who are growing up. Number five, only adults can unlock the solution to the problems of people you're assigned to help. Moses. Number six, only adults can exercise their spiritual authority. Like, I commanded that demon, but he laughed at me. He was making fun of me. Why? Because you're a kid. You have no authority. And although God has given you that authority could not open up and unlock in your life until you grow up. You see why it's so important for us to grow up? You're commanding the devil and he's laughing at you. You're saying, I have spiritual authority. You need to leave, devil. And he's like, ha, you're right. Why? Because you're still immature. So God unlocks spiritual authority when we grow up. This is a good one. Only spiritual adults can truly love others. Only spiritual adults can truly love others, because babies are selfish by nature. Babies are selfish by nature. Number eight, only adults can be like Christ. And our goal is to be like Jesus. And number nine, only adults can exercise their faith to the fullest and receive the promises of God. Did that convince you any to want to grow up? How do we grow up? Well, that's next week. But a short story is that how do you know you're growing up or growing up is that you become other focused, not self-focused. You come to church focusing, how can I bless others? Who can I pray for today? Or I hope somebody notices me and I need prayer, but I won't ask for it because I don't do that. They should know they're spiritual, right? But adults come to church, who can I pray? Like, I come to this church and I'm not saying I'm fully grown yet spiritually, but I come to church and I say, God, who can I pray for today? Who do I need to talk to? Even if it's one person, I'll say hello to everybody, but who do I need to like really focus on? Because I come to serve. I don't come to be served. I come to serve. And that's the sign of maturity. Now, one of the signs of adult is servanthood. We talk a lot about serving at New Life. Why? Is that because we're desperate and we need you guys to fill the slots? To serve in kids ministry, to serve in media, to serve in cafe, worship, whatever, building stuff. Is that because we're desperate? No. Ministry is getting done pretty well. A lot of people are doing ministry pretty well. So why do we ask you to serve? Because that's the only way you can grow up. Why do parents ask children to do some chores? Mamas, why do you ask your daughters to cook something? Why do we ask our sons to take out the garbage, help mow the lawn? Why do we do that? Couldn't we do it ourselves? I got a writing mower. I can do it.
better than him. You can cook better than her, but why do you make her? So she can grow up. So when she goes on her own or he goes on her own, they won't be useless. So they can be a good wife. They could be a good husband, right? So as a pastor, it's the same thing. Guys, do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear the heart of God? Why does God send circumstances in your life so you can grow up? Why does God send problems, things in your life so you can grow up? Why do we ask in a New Life Church so you would serve like once in a while so you can grow up spiritually? There is no maturity. There's no adulting without serving. There is no adulting without serving. Pastor, I'm afraid to say yes. In another church, I said yes to serving and they locked me in kids' church and I never got any spiritual food. Is that how it works here? No. We don't want people actually to serve every Sunday. When I see somebody serve every Sunday, I go to the leader and I say, hey, they cannot serve every Sunday. Right? But let's say a young lady comes and says, Pastor, or kids' church pastor, they wouldn't come to me for that, but I want to serve in nursery. And they go to the nursery and they serve, or they go and they realize, I don't think I want to have kids anymore. I think I'm just not going to have kids. I thought I loved kids, but I don't think this is my thing. Well, here's how it works at New Life. When you sign up to serve somewhere, you go in, and if you don't like it, you don't have to, like, white knuckle it out. You could serve, and if you don't like it, you could come to your leader and say, hey, I don't think this kids thing is for me. Or I don't think this worship is for me. I like to be in a background. Maybe I like to be an usher. I don't think it's for me. And guess what? We won't be mad. We'll just tell you, great. Because here's the thing about adulting. We get maximum pleasure in life when we do things we're wired by God to do. You know, for 8 years, I didn't get a paycheck in this church. And I preached longer messages than I do now. Now it's like 2 pages max. It used to be 6 pages. It would be long, but I would do it, and it would take me a week to prepare. Now it doesn't take so long, but it used to take me a week to prepare, and I would stress out like crazy. But why would I do it? Because I loved it. I loved yelling at people and telling them how to live their lives. Some were like, I want your job. Great, join the team. Let's go. There's plenty of room. We need a backup quarterback. And a backup to backup. 4-string. And plus we're thinking of future starting campuses, other campuses. So we need you. If that's what you're called to do, come and learn. But you know what the most important ministry in a church is? And the most important place to serve is? Is not here on Sunday in the sanctuary. This is not the most important. I love you guys, but you're not the most important. I want to tell you the most important ministry in the church is kids ministry. Did you know that people in their life accept Christ more when they're kids than when they're old? You would think when somebody gets old, they're ready to be dying, they'll accept Jesus. No. They already set in their ways. So if they're an atheist old, most likely they'll die like that. But when children, they're open to Jesus. They're open to the Holy Spirit. And maybe later on they walk away. We know they do. Some of them do. In college, maybe they walk away. Many of you tell us that. We ask you, what's your spiritual history? What is your church history? And you say, I started a church, went crazy kind of. One became atheist, agnostic, whatever. But now I just have emptiness and I need Jesus. But notice, I didn't bring you to Jesus. Maybe I brought you back to Jesus. Or a friend who invited you brought you back to Jesus. But a person who impacted your life the most was in your kids' church. Yes, blue room here is crazy. And they won't put you in blue room right away. Only the professionals can go into the blue room. Only the good ones make it to the blue room. You'll start in nursery, 2 to 3 year olds, you know, maybe the bigger kids, but blue room, only the pros, only the masters. And you gotta go like this to them, master, like Bill. You can't handle those kids. What are they? 4 to 6. Oh. She said that they're crazy. It feels like it. They're not, but it feels like it. But the biggest impact you can make. But let's say you try kids' church or you try something and you don't like it. It's better to change and find a place, your sweet spot. And see, as adults, sometimes we have to do things we don't like for a while. But let's find that first and then secondary and then third, that sweet spot. I'm called to preach and I'm called to lead. And I can't imagine doing anything else. And I've put so much energy, like I've been thinking about this sermon for 3-4 weeks. Honestly. I'm sitting there with my wife. Oh my goodness, where's the time flew? You've been playing for a while, haven't you? Okay, I gotta quit. Next week we'll pick it up. The good stuff is coming. Good stuff is coming. Anyway, God wants you to grow up. God wants me to grow up. And I'm asking God today, God, where do I need to grow so I can inherit all your promises? Would you stand to your feet? Did you enjoy this message? Close your eyes and bow your head.